we shall continue with the believer's basic responsibilities. We're looking at the fifth part now. The fifth part. Let's take our text, Matthew chapter 6, from verse 5 to verse 8. Matthew 6, from verse 5 to verse 8. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for the law of prayer standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we'll be looking at the believer's basic responsibilities, and there are three of them that we outlined at the beginning of this small study. We spoke of our responsibility to others, which is called doing good deeds. Then we spoke of our responsibilities to God, which is our praying to God, and then our responsibilities to ourselves, which we classified as fasting or self-denial. Now, beginning from today, we shall be looking at the second one, that is our responsibilities to God, vis-a-vis our praying to God. And to begin, in our scripture text that we just read, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. He expresses how we are to pray and how not to pray, by using the way hypocrites and heathens pray, thus telling us not to pray like them. So essentially, the Lord distinguishes the way hypocrites pray, the way the heathens pray, and then say, don't pray like that, pray like this. Is that understood? Okay. So, we shall be looking at a subtitle, what I have termed the nature of prayers. The nature of prayers. And I'm going to try as much as possible to define these terms so that we can have understanding. The word nature is talking about the attitude, disposition, culture, way of life, or character, attitude, the disposition of prayers, the culture, the way of life, or the character. Now, of course, it may not make sense until I define what I mean by prayers, right? So, the word prayer there is a noun, not a verb. Usually, when we talk of prayer, we are talking of the action of praying, is that not so? Now that is a verb. But here we are using that term prayer to describe those who pray. So is that understood now? So we are talking about the nature, the attitude of people who pray. The attitude, the disposition, the culture surrounding certain people who pray. The way of life, or the mannerism, or the character of some of these people, or people who pray. Now, to express this better, let's read Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, because that's what the Lord was explaining in the verses we have read in our scripture text. He says, when people pray, some people in their praying have the nature of a hypocrite. Don't pray like that. Your nature should not be that kind of a nature. Some other people, when they pray, they exhibit the nature of the hidden in prayer. Don't pray like that. So is that understood now? So let's make it more elaborate. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and I'll be reading from verse 10 to 14. Luke 18 from verse 10 through to verse 14. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithe of all that I possess, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. So, the scripture we just read starts by saying, two men went up into the temple to do what? To pray. And then he describes the two men. The first one was who? A Pharisee. And the other one, a publican. We can explain and say a pastor and a sinner. A churchgoer and a non-churchgoer. Now, in the natural, when we read something like this, let's assume we have not read verse 11. Our expectation will be that more accolade will be given to the Pharisees. That also. Because that is a religious leader. He should know how to pray. He should know what to pray about. And so we will naturally dismiss the public. Because these are people who collect bribes and who do all the wrong things that we know of. So we don't expect that person to even receive any accolade whatsoever, any acclaim whatsoever. But with the Lord, prayer, that is the verb, is not necessarily about your profession. It's not necessarily about your vocation. It's not necessarily about your public, the perception of the public about who you are. Prayer is about your nature. It's about your attitude, about your character in relation to God. So, this is what the Lord was trying to draw out here. That it's not really about whether you're a Pharisee, or a pastor, or a churchgoer. No. It is about the attitude of that person in prayer. So, he mentions in verse 11 about the Pharisee. He says the Pharisee stood and prayed God with himself. He was full of himself in that prayer. The prayer was all about his self-conceit. It was his achievements, his accomplishments. Yes, he thanks God. But what is he thanking God about? That he is not like other men. Do you see the focus of his direction is prayer? His prayer is comparing things rather than just going to God in humility and talking to God about what he wanted to talk about. But he begins to compare himself to other people. Says, I thank you, I'm not like other people. They are extortioners, they are unjust, they are adulterers, and even as this publican who's standing here. And then he goes on to talk of his religious accomplishment. I fast two times in I give tithes of all that I possess. That was his prayer. Everything was about himself, his self-conceit. And the Lord is saying that when I give accolades, or when I justify anyone in prayer, it's not about what you think. So some of us think that the prayer of a bishop must always be heard because it's a bishop. But that's not what God is saying. Look at how the publican prayed. So you can see that it's not so much the perception of the public about these people, but the content of their nature, the content of their character, the content of their heart. It must be said, and the publican standing afar off. Do not go near. Because of the reverence that he placed on God. The Pharisee was so full of himself, he did not care anything about reverencing God. This one would not as much as lift up his eyes to God. Then he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I mean, look at how brief his own prayer was. He recognized his sinfulness. He recognized that he was a sinner. And the Lord just concluded by saying, that sinner went to his house justified, rather than the Pharisee who brought all those things. So, as far as the Lord was concerned, the issue was with the nature, or rather is with the nature of the person who is praying. That is his issue. Not your title, not your ecclesiastical office. So a man can be a bishop, a man can be a pastor, a man can be whatever he chooses to be, and yet God will not answer him. So we don't come to God carrying upon ourselves certain attitudes and expect God to hear us. So let's look at three natures that people who pray exhibit as they are read in the scriptures, in our scripture text. The first one is the nature or the attitude of the hypocrite in prayer. The nature or the attitude of the hypocrite in prayer. Now we'll spend quite some time discussing the hypocrite. And we've spoken about the hypocrite being a pretender, the hypocrite being an entertainer, one who seeks public acclaim. We've spoken about the hypocrite being diabolical, one who claims to be good, but in reality he is evil, he is wicked. One who gives us the impression that he is a saint, but in reality he is an agent of Satan. One who has the form of godliness, but in reality is an ungodly man. When it comes to the matter of prayer, the hypocrite, by his nature, one of the things we mentioned about his nature is that he is more interested in what people say than any other. So his focus is on people. His focus is on people, on public acclaim. And if we go back to Matthew chapter 6, you will see that he has a venue where he prays. Where does he pray? In verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6. He says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing where? In the synagogues. And where? In the corners of the streets. You can see that his venue is always public. He is a man of the people. And his venue for praying is public. Wherever there are people, he likes to pray there. In fact, in Matthew 23, verse 5, I believe, yes, Matthew 23, verse 5, the Lord mentions the nature of the Pharisees, and it aligns with the nature of the hypocrites. He says in verse 5, but all their works, how much of their works? All, whether it is good deeds, or prayer, or fasting, all their works, they do for to be seen of men. If men cannot see them, they are not interested. So their praying is a matter of public, something that is done in public. They are not interested in a quiet place, in a place where they can just pray by themselves. No. It must be in public. It must be where there are people. That's when we pray. Now, the Lord is warning us, don't be like that. In Luke chapter 20, verse 46 and 47, Luke 20, verse 46 and verse 47, the Lord says, beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and long greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts. You can see these are public men. These are men who love publicity. And then there's another thing about them. They are not humble. They exalt themselves. They like their titles to be mentioned when they are being called to do anything in public. So they are public men. But verse 47 is where we are going to. He says about these men, they says, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. What is he saying there? When he says they devour the homes of widows, he says that they go into the homes of widows, take over their property, and then to cover up this evil deed that they have done, they start making long prayers. In this particular instance, let's stretch this word widow. A widow is somebody who has no support, has nobody to defend her, because her husband is dead. And more often than not, when we encounter widows in the Bible, most times their children are either very young or they have no children in some instances. So you see somebody who is just by herself, helpless, that's what he's saying. So even if the person were a man, if the man that is helpless, all they are looking for is how to take over the property of that person. A number of times, even when you have people who can help you, one of the things they do is to begin to remove those people from you. That's when they come up and start assessing prophecy. And the prophecy is about the people who can help you are the ones who are injurious to you, so that you will avoid them. And before you know what's happening, you're on your own. And then they can now attack, strike, and take whatever they want to take. And then they begin to pray. Long, long prayers. Father, as this widow has given her property for us to use for church, may all that you do come to her. All her desires, let it be dead. And they continue to pray. They can pray for 1 hour. At the end of the day, does God hear them? No. Because they are hypocritical. The prayer that the hypocrite prays is a smokescreen to hide their iniquity and wickedness from men. But certainly they cannot hide it from God. When you see the hypocrite praying in church, you will say, this is a man of prayer. But in the presence of his house, he doesn't pray. And if he prays at all in the presence of his house, the quality of his praying in private is nothing compared to what you hear him pray in public. We can stretch this when it comes to ministry. There are people who will pray for a program. They will marshal people to pray for programs for weeks, but they have no personal prayer with God. It is actually a danger in ministry. And many people who will pray for church, they will pray for a program, they will pray for people and whatever, but they don't have a personal relationship. That is hypocrisy. Prayer must first of all begin with you and God. Nobody says that you should not intercede. Nobody says you should not pray for problems. But are you in right standing with God? One of the crucial things about an intercessor is that he has credit with God. If he does not have credit with God, he cannot be interceding for somebody else. You can imagine someone that they want to beat is going to pray, is going to intercede for someone that they also want to beat. Who's going to hear? So the, one of the crucial things about an intercessor is that the intercessor has credit with God. Your personal, your private personal prayer must take preeminence over public prayer. I believe we're going to discuss more on that next week. This is the reason why in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, the Lord said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, look at the beginning of that, shall what? Humble themselves, not exalt themselves. The Pharisee in Luke 18 exalted himself. He looked at other people and said, he is better than them. And then he began to recount the fact that he fasts twice. And that he paid back. And God was unimpressed. He said, they shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. The end is saying you cannot be one and not be the other. Your humility must manifest in prayer. The humbling of yourself through fasting, through self-denial, must bring you to the place of prayer. Seeking the face of God. Not seeking your own things, but the face of God. And crucially, they must turn from their wicked ways. I think we defined the hypocrite many, many years ago here by saying that the hypocrite is someone who pretends to be something that he is not and does not intend to be. Remember that definition? Good. This man has no intention of turning away from his wicked ways. He wants to pray. He claims that he wants to seek the face of God. He would even fast. For all those things, he has no plan of turning from his wicked ways. And that's why nothing happens to him. Nothing happens for him, rather, at least from God. Because God says, continuing in 2 Corinthians 7 14, he says, then, when these things are in place, when there is humility, prayer, the seeking of the face of God, and the turning away from wicked ways, he says, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and will heal their life. Now, I'm going to say this, that when we read in the scripture that God talks about, if you look at the scripture, a lot of times God talks about hearing our prayers. The hearing of our prayers and answering those prayers are considered one and the same. So if God does not hear your prayers, the implication is that you don't get an answer. So, when we pray like a hypocrite, like the Bible, like Lord Jesus explained back again to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When you pray like a hypocrite, you get a reward. What is the reward of the hypocrite in prayer? Publicly. Oh, that's a great man of God. That's a reward. The prayer is not answered, but at least men will say, you did that man knows how to pray. That's all. That's what his reward is. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, Revelation 3, verse 1. We know the church in Sardis, how the Lord Jesus, the message is sent to them. He said, back by the Bible, he says, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, this thing saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead. What is that? What is he saying there? He said, I know you have a reputation. People see you as alive. In fact, I think there's one translation that talks about the comments that people make, say, oh, this is a believing church. He says, but in reality, you are dead. The hypocrite in prayer has a reputation amongst people. They say he's living. They say that is it. That church, they pray in that church. But what is it before God? Before God, God says they are dead. There's no life in that church. And the Lord Jesus is warning us. He says, don't be like them. Don't be like those people who are seeking public acclaim. Because when you are like them, you will only pray in public. It will always be about what people can say about you. Which is why in verse 6 says, but when you are praying, what do you do? Go and lock yourself in the closet. If possible, don't let people know that they are going to pray. He says, but don't worry, your Father will do what you have openly. I think we're going to discuss that next week. A lot of the public victories you will encounter in your life are the result of private praying. If you have not prayed privately, you cannot expect to get victories in public. Because everything is spiritual. Whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, they have a spiritual content. And it is in the spirit that you must deal with these things. When people refuse to do that, then they throw everything overboard. The Lord is warning us, don't be like them. Don't pray only because you come to church. And then Monday through Saturday, you are doing nothing. Ask yourself, what is the quantum of your praying in private? Against the quantum of your praying in public. Some people go to church only during the hours of prayer. That's all they are doing in church. To pray. Nothing more than that. If the quantum of your praying in private is not exceedingly greater than the quantum of your praying in public, you are not praying. You are a hypocrite in prayer. If all you do is to spend 5 minutes every day to pray in your closet, then you come to church and say, oh, we're not spending time praying. We're not, Pastor, we should be praying, we should be praying, we should be praying. You're a hypocrite. You have your reward. You say, oh, that was a nice prayer. That's the reward you're going to get. That's the reward you're going to get. All the public praying you have prayed, you will realize that not one is answered. But your desire is best. What's that desire? That brother loves prayer. That's all. The church that advertises prayer every day, but the people in the church, because the church is people, but the people don't pray regularly, they will say that church is a praying church. Not because they have seen God's hand openly, but because they make so much noise. Don't be like them. Secondly, we look at the nature or the attitude of the heathen or pagan in prayer. The heathen is really a pagan. What is the nature or the attitude of the heathen? We've looked at the nature or the attitude of the hypocrite in prayer. He's a public man. He's a people's person. He's all about publicity. He's not all about publicity. What of the heathen? The heathen, let's understand certain things about him. The basic nature of him is that he does not know God. Now the Lord is warning us, because it is possible for a believer to be a heathen when it comes to prayer. They don't know God. They have no relationship with God. That's the nature of a heathen. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and doth what knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. The heathen does not know God that way. He doesn't know the desire of God. He doesn't know the desire of God. He doesn't know that God is a God who delights in loving kindness. That is, in our own acts of mercy towards others. That God is a God who delights in judgment, equity, fairness, justice. Who delights in righteousness, now by doing the right things. The heathen doesn't understand that. So when the heathen is praying, his prayer is to a God of vengeance. His prayer is to a God that looks at only him and him alone. Make me great and make every other person nothing. There are many Christians who are heathens in prayer. Because all they do is focus on themselves. Without relationship with God. And one of the characteristics about the heathen is that the heathen does not know, not only does he not know God, his own gods are not the Almighty. You must understand that. The God that the heathen prays to is not God Almighty. Because the heathen does not pray to a God that is holy. He cannot pray to a holy God. He comes in his sin and wants to remain in his sin and ask this God that he's praying to do things for him, even though he's a sin. So he cannot be praying to Almighty God. So that the gods of the heathen are essentially deaf, dumb, and impotent. They are deaf, they are dumb, and they are impotent. Let's read Psalm 135. Psalm 135, and I'm going to read verse 15 to 18. Psalm 135, verse 15 to 18. The idols of the heathen, these are the gods of the heathen, they are idols. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, equivalent of money. The work of men's hands, things that they have designed for themselves, that's the God. They have a God that they can control because they made that God. In verse 16, it says, they have mouths, but they speak not. They are dumb. They don't speak. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. They are blind, they are dead. Neither is there any breath in their mouth. They are dead. So you can see the God of the heathen. He's dumb, he's blind, he's dead. And he's dead. That's the God that the heathen prayed to. Now you must understand that you cannot be praying to such a God and expect an answer. Do you understand what we're trying to say? You pray to a dead God, does he hear? He can't hear. So it doesn't matter, we're going somewhere with this, because for them, for the heathen, it doesn't matter that they don't receive an answer. All they know is they have prayed. In fact, they don't even pray, they just give command. In verse 18, it says, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. The heathen are like their gods. They are deaf. They are blind. They are dumb. They are dead. Spiritually dead. Don't be like them. The God that we pray to, he hears. He sees. He speaks. He's living. And because they pray to such a dead God, what do you find about the heathen in prayer? They shout. They make gestures. Sign language. See, their God does not hear them. They have to make sign language. And then sometimes, because something is happening, they don't use their own power. After they have prayed, they don't use their own power to do what they want. That was a good thing. God says, doesn't it? Let's go back to Matthew 6 again. And let's look at verse 7 again. He says, when you pray, use not what?
vain repetitions as the heathen do.
So we see what the heathen are like. Now he says, they live what vain repetition. What does that mean? The word vain means empty or meaningless. So they just keep talking and keep talking, talking nonsense. They just keep talking, they repeat the same thing over and over and over again. Because they are not so here. So they must keep repeating themselves. They must keep talking meaningless. And the Lord is warning us not to be like that. Let's look at some scriptures in this connection. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. From verse 1 to verse 7. Ecclesiastes 5, from 1 to 7. This is the word of God. Keep thy foot when thou goest the house of God. And I say, when you are in the presence of God. What does this say? Don't be hasty. Be careful. Know how you are stepping. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. I have discovered that one of the key things that God is interested in when we come to meet Him in the place of prayer is that we what? Hear. And we listen. Rather than just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. That we spend time listening to Him. In verse 2, He is speaking about this excess song. He says, be not rash with thy mouth. And let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. There must be thoughtfulness. The heathen don't think about anything. They don't know. God is warning us. Don't be too quick. Don't be rash. Just talk. He didn't think it through. Just talk. Before you begin to say you are praying on anything, we've said it before. Meditate on the word of God. What does God want about this matter? What is God saying about this issue? Meditate on it. Search the scriptures concerning it. Do a study if possible. Spend time listening before you utter your mouth. Check yourself. Are you in right standing? He says, for God is in heaven and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be what? Few. Don't be too quick to utter words. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, the Bible says, in the multitude of sin, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. In other words, the more you speak, the more likely you are to sin. God is warning us, be careful. In verse 3 of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, he says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When you are always dreaming, it cannot be God. God does not speak that way to you every time. Dreaming. Where is the word of God to back up all those dreams? I mean, a lot of those dreams happen. They don't make any sense. Yet, the whole world, that's what he said. It's only the fool's voice. It's not by the watching of words. A dream comes by all the business. That's why you see children. When they are saying, they start to grow, they are continuing to play. They were playing. That's what you're continuing to do. Some of us are like that. Our thoughts is what translates into dream in the subconscious. And then one would ascribe and say, God, you say something. What were you thinking of? If your thought that just your mind was just speaking to you, showing some things, what is happening in your subconscious? Of course, that doesn't work for every dream. But when a person is so preoccupied with himself that is all the kind of dreams they don't have. People are having dreams of how they are speaking to millions of people. It is their heart that is giving them that. I think we've said this before. You can have revelation or dreams or vision from either the devil, from God, or from your mind, from yourself. In verse 4, he says, when thou goest a vow unto God, defy not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast. In verse 5 it says, better is it that thou shouldest not vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Is that your Bible? That's why the warning us, when you are vowed, don't be too quick to make pronouncements. Think it through. Oh God, if you give me this, I will do this. If you do this, I will do this. God will do it anyway, whether you vow or not. But when you make a vow, God will now want to prove that you must pay that. And don't talk about it, oh, you know, he didn't know, it was this thing, it was this, it was that. God considers you to be a fool. And we know who else the Bible calls a fool. The man who says there is no God. So a man who does not pay his or her vows is saying, it doesn't matter, there is no God. God will not pay anything. In verse 6, it says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the mouth of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities. What does vanity? What vanities mean? Useless things, meaninglessness, emptiness. That's what he said. In the world of dreams and of many words, there is a lot of emptiness, a lot of rubbish. But fear thou God. This is God's warning to us. Don't be like the heathen. They just talk and talk and talk. They think by saying so many words that prayer is about quantity. Prayer is not about quantity necessarily. Prayer is about quality. And why do they use many words? It says they think that they will be heard for their much speaking. Remember what I said earlier on. Because the God of the heathen is deaf, is blind, cannot hear. What does he do? What do the heathen do? They shout, they jump, they do all kinds of things. In 1 Kings chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18, we see an example of how the heathen pray. 1 Kings 18, verse 23 to 29. 1 Kings 18. 23 to 29. This was when Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal. And so we'll just read it from verse 23 to 29. And this is Elijah speaking. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, that is the prophets of Baal, the heathen, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other book and lay it on wood and put no fire on them. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one God for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are men, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire on them. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal. From where? From morning even until 6 hours. Praying. I remember once, I had prayed for like 6 hours. And I was excited. A few days after that, I came across a book written by a man of God. And I read in that book that the man of God prayed for 24 hours. I said, so I'm not even done anything yet. And then the man of God went on to say that after he prayed for 24 hours, he was excited. And God showed him a book that he read and saw that there was somebody else who prayed for 72 hours non-stop. And suddenly his own 24 hours meant nothing. Prayer is not about competition. It is good to pray long prayers. There's nothing wrong with that. But we must understand that it is the quality that God is interested in, not the quantity necessary. So this was prayed from morning until noon, saying, "O God, hear us." Don't forget, the God of these people, they are deaf. They can't hear. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they slid upon the altar which was made. So you see now, they are now entering into gesticulation. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, shout, for he is a God." And that is talking, maybe it's in the conversation. So draw his attention. Or he is pursuing. Maybe he is going on, he is chasing after something. Call his attention to come back from his pursuit. Or he is on a journey, maybe he has traveled. Sending a letter to respond quickly because there is an urgent matter. Or, peradventure, he is sleeping. Cry aloud that he can wake up. And must be awakened. And they cried aloud and caught themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. This is how the healing way. They think that by cutting themselves, sometimes we after we're praying and not deserving, we fast. We say, "No, God does not serve it today." But there are things that God is pointing to that you don't want to hear. And you think it's by doing those things, you'll be hearing me pray. In verse 29, he says, "And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied," see, the night that the prophecy speaking, "until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that would hear." When you pray like a healing, you are praying to a healing God. And the Almighty God will not answer. Now, we need to understand the reason why God will not hear. In Psalm 66, verse 18, Psalm 2, verse 18, the psalmist will say, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." So you can jump up from now to tomorrow. If you are one of those who have to, another word for regard is to welcome it or to acknowledge, to give the place of preeminence or to honor iniquity in your heart. So if I give you iniquity a place of prominence in my heart, God will not hear me. If I've decided that iniquity is more important than any other thing, God will not hear. The reason why the healing cannot get an answer to whatever prayer they're praying is iniquity in their hands. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, I'm going to read verse 1 and 2, but please, I want you to read the rest. Because it speaks about so many other things that the healing, that will make God not to hear prayers. But verse 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear." God hears. God is not deaf. But why is he not hearing? In verse 3 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Sin makes it impossible for God. Remember what I said earlier. The critical thing when we pray is that God hears. Once God has heard, you have the answer. So if God is not hearing, it means there's a problem. So one of the things that makes God not to hear our prayers, or the prayers of those who pray like healing, is they have iniquity and a prominent place in their hearts. Secondly, sin remains in their lives. In James chapter 4, verse 3, James chapter 4, verse 3, we see another reason why God does not hear this kind of prayer that has been prayed by people, this heathenish prayer. James chapter 4, verse 3. He says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Asking amiss, consuming your lusts. We are talking of people who are asking with wrong motives, with wrong intentions, from a selfish motive, from a motive that seeks their own desire rather than the desire of God. God will not hear. They cannot receive anything from God. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, what happens? He heareth us. So when you ask contrary to the will of God, God will not hear you. So you can jump from now to tomorrow. You can fast for a whole year. There's iniquity in your life. There's sin in your life. You are fasting for wrong motives. You are fasting for a selfish reason. You are not interested in the will of God. Rather, you want to impose your own will on God. God does not hear those prayers. And if God does not hear those prayers, He does not answer. So, instead of behaving like the heathen, who will be repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating, some of them, they come to the altar to make the Jesus prayer every time they are praying to that. Some of us, when they come, it is to pray for a car, for a house, for this, for that. Instead of repeating these prayers, number one, stop sinning. Stop promoting iniquity, gossip, lewdness, and so on and so forth. Those things that God needs, stop promoting them. Stop doing them. Stop your selfish praying. Stop praying with wrong motives. Why is it important to stop those things? Stop those things that we like. What of what God wants? What of what God likes? Start seeking the will of God on any matter and commit to doing it. Don't just seek it. Commit to doing it. In Matthew chapter 6:10, which we shall be reading that next week. Part of the prayers, one of the prayers says, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It is the major issue in prayer. Instead of going to pray your will, instead of praying your desire, instead of praying your selfish motives and whatever, why don't you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven? You get an answer. So the Lord wants us. Don't pray like the hypocrites pray. Don't pray like the heathen pray. How does He want us to pray? The Lord wants us to have the nature and the attitude of the honest man in prayer. So we've looked at the nature and attitude of the hypocrites, the nature and attitude of the heathen. Now we want to look at the nature and attitude of the honest man in prayer. Please, I want you to know something. That I didn't say the Christian or pastor, but I said what? The honest. An honest man has sincerity in his heart. A sinner can be honest. Like we saw in the, what's it now? We saw in the case of the publican. Like we saw in the case of the publican. In the case of a publican, he was a sinner, but he was honest. He was sincere in his disposition. That's what the Lord is telling us about. Not to exhibit the nature or attitude of a heathen, nature or attitude of a hypocrite, but that of an honest person when we come to God in prayer. Like a publican who did not want to go near because he knew that he was a sinner, who swore upon his breast because he knew what he had done wrong, and his prayer was a simple prayer: "Be merciful unto me, a sinner." That's all he prayed. And yet he was justified. You can see that his prayer was not long, but it was quality. Unlike the Pharisee, who kept reading all the things that he had achieved and kept comparing himself to other people, believing them and elevating himself. God expects us to act like an honest man in prayer. So, what's the nature and the attitude of the honest man in prayer? In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ rising up a long while and going to a solitary place to pray. Honesty in prayer is about praying more in private. The honest man in prayer prays more in private than in public. Secondly, in James chapter 1, verse 19, James chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." The man who is honest in place of prayer, he strives more to hear, that is to hear God, and to do God's bidding, than to just be speaking. The nature of the honest man is, what is the Lord saying? And how can I do it? That is his primary concern. It's not about going there and saying, "Oh Lord, I want it, Lord, I want it, Lord, I want it." No, 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 no. His position is first, what is God saying? I want to do it. He's more particular with carrying out the instructions of God than with giving God instructions. That's what the hypocrites do. That's what the heathen do. They would rather want to give God instructions, so that people can say, "Wow, this man, God and this man are one and the same." I heard from the man of God who was preaching, and he said that somebody came to him for prayers, and I think it was about promotion. No, it wasn't promotion, sorry. It was a contract where he was going to be for a contract. So when this man of God prayed, the man of God prayed. That's prayer, the Lord grant him according to your will. And left. He came back a few weeks later to tell the man of God that, "I don't know the kind of prayer you are praying. They didn't give me the contract, they gave it to the land." Fellow kept quiet. The man of God kept quiet. He didn't say anything. He said some months later, that man came back and said, "I thank God that he didn't hear, he didn't grant me the request of my heart." Why? The person who got the contract had gone to borrow money to execute the contract. A new minister also came into the ministry, and that contract had been stopped. He's put the money he borrowed, he's paying interest. He can't move forward on the money project. But in the beginning, he was unhappy. Many of us will behave like a heathen. It's what we want, not what God wants. Thank God for men of God who understand that it is the will of God that matters. And by the way, I don't even understand how people who say they are Christians cannot pray to God on their own. Why do you have to go to somebody and say, "Pastor, pray for me, pray for me"? I don't understand that. I can understand a baby Christian, but for how long I know to be a baby Christian? I keep saying this thing, that there is nothing different. The same way one man of God has credit with God, you can build that credit. How do you build that credit? In the place of prayer. Spend time in the presence of God. You will build credit with God. Live up those sinful lives. When the Spirit of God wants to kill the flesh, allow him to kill the flesh. And let us pray that God will not trust you with certain things happening. If God knows that you're not interested, God is sorry, if it is thrown by heaven and you will do it, that you are not interested in public acclaim, in noisy narrative, God will be speaking to you on some crucial thing, and there are things he will say to you, "This must not be passed," and you keep your mouth shut. Paul wrote once of how he went into the fourth heavens, or the third heavens or so. He went to the third heavens, and he said he heard things, he heard it, that is not that men are not allowed to utter with their lips. And he did write it. He kept it. He kept his mouth shut. John, when the revelation was being, when God was showing the revelations, there was a particular thing he was shown. And as he wanted to write it, the angel said to him, "No. No, the one God said, don't write it. Give this one alone. Write the others, but don't write this one." And you obeyed. Some of us will judge it on a sheet of paper so that we can keep it. For what purpose? When you cannot be trusted, when you have not been proven faithful, the man who is honest in prayer will see first, will hear from God, and do what God wants him to do, rather than just going there to talk and talk and talk. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, "The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." The honest man in prayer is the man that is of a broken heart, a broken spirit. You cannot find arrogance in life. His spirit is broken. Is yielded to God. A broken spirit is always yielding to God. A strong spirit, in relation to a broken spirit now, is a spirit that is stubborn. It works contrary to God. In Psalm 51, verse 17, Psalm 51, verse 17, the Bible says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." That is what is crucial to God. That broken spirit. That a man has it. And talks about people who tremble when they hear God speak. That is, people who are eager to do the word of God. What does God say? Let me do it. These are people that God will hear. God says, "I look to those men. I look to these are people I'm looking for." In Psalm 50, from verse 16 to 22, God speaks to a wicked man. Paul said, "If you can learn wisdom by walking with the wise man, by listening to the words of wisdom, and also by learning from the error or the mistakes of fools. Psalm 50 from verse 16. But unto the wicked, God said, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes or my word or my commandments? Or that thou should escape my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest what? Instruction. And castest my word behind thee. You threw it away. What have you got to do with my word? What have you got to do? What do you know? Do you know I have it wrong? I give you instruction, you discard it. In verse 13, it says, when thou sawest a thief, then thou commendest, thou consentest rather, with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. You see somebody who has stolen, he is your friend, he is your bad man. That's the person you are working with. Verse 19, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. They told you something. You are quick to go and be broadcasting it. Now give your mouth to him. Satan puts a wrong thought in your heart about somebody. You are not waiting to prove yourself talking about it. You are not taking time to seek the face of God. This thing that I'm hearing in my spirit about this man, about this woman, is it from you? No. Who? You have made a comment. It is from God. Thou seekest and speakest against thy brother. That's slanderer than an own mother's son. Your brother who is a believer, you are the one who is slandering him before God. These things have thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before their eyes. What is God saying? So because you have been doing these things and I kept quiet, you think that I am like that. You think I approve of such despicable behavior. Such people don't tremble at the word of God. They do as they like. In verse 22 it says, now consider this, ye that forget God, they have forgotten me. People have forgotten, they've abandoned God. So lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to tear you. God is looking for people that fear Him, people that tremble at His word, people that want to sit down to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of food. That man's prayer would always be there. Remember, it is your nature that God is looking at. Not your position. Not the privilege you think you are enjoying. But your disposition, your attitude, your character. Is your character, your attitude, is it one of sincerity? Remember the woman at the well? When the Lord told her to go and bring her husband. She was sincere. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, indeed, you have spoken the truth. But some of us run and go and bring that one. That we are not trying to him, we are still trying him out. Go and quickly bring him and say, this is my husband. You will not tell the Lord that you have been married 5 times. The woman was sincere. The one that the Lord meant to have. And the one who had it. Whenever God finds people who are sincere, who are honest in their disposition towards Him, this guy cannot even live with them. You did something wrong. The word of God corrects you. Instead of repenting, you are angry with the word of God. Oh, this thing was written to the Corinthians. It wasn't written to me. It was written to the Romans. I don't even know why we're doing this. I don't like the Old Testament. I prefer the New Testament. You think you see something you don't like in the New Testament? Let me go back to the Old Testament. No, I think there's something in the Old Testament. You are just looking for what pleases you. God has no regard for such. The same Psalm 50, verse 14 and 15. Offer unto God thanksgiving. and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Who is it that God will listen to when he prays? The man who is thankful for everything and in everything. When your attitude is one of thanksgiving, one of thankfulness, God will hear you. That's an honest man. God has done something very good, something small. He said, Father, I thank you for that. It may be small in your eyes, but for some people, it is very big. I keep telling people, you have a mattress to lie on. There are people who don't have mattress, they sleep on bed floor. And they are thankful to God that they don't have a roof on their head. There are people who sleep on the open, in the open. Not, they don't even have a space under the bridge to sleep. You know, we are full of complaints. We complain about everything. Oh, there's no lights. Oh, there's no match to burn fire. Oh, there's no firewood. There are people who cannot even eat a meal. They are hungry, but they can't eat. And you say you want God to hear you. It's not thankfulness. Your heart is not full of gratitude. I believe it's in, is it second Timothy chapter 3, where the Bible talks about what will happen in the last days. He says people will be unthankful. They will be lovers of themselves. More than lovers of God. They will be focusing on themselves alone. And you want God to hear such people. You can't. God himself said, for everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. While you are inside, the man with a grateful heart will always have God hearing his prayers. That's a man who's honest in prayer. He recognizes the sovereignty of God. He recognizes the fact that whatever he needs today is by the grace of God. He cannot be comparing himself with other people. Because he knows that whatever it is he is, is God that gives him. Whatever it is not to God, is God that allows it. Let's not be like that Pharisee who was there comparing. And then he goes on to say, not only should you be thankful, pay your vows. Pay your vows. You made a vow to God. Lord, if you do this, I will pay you this. Then God does his part. You now come around. I say, God, you know, that was a very serious part here. I didn't know it. And then you still want to be talking to God. He won't hear you. Because you have understanding in him. He cannot listen to you. Oh, I know that there's this argument about Jephthah. He said, Jephthah made a vow. Did he pay that? What did the Bible tell you? The Bible does not hide anything. He says, Jephthah did as he had promised. What does it mean? He said, I will give to you in a sacrifice. Sacrifice in those days was not something you went to place. You kill the sacrifice. The first thing that comes out of my mouth will bring me, I will give to you in sacrifice. It was his daughter that came. Why was it sorrowful if it was just going to place the daughter somewhere? He did it. We do those things. We turn the Bible upside down because we want to give the impression that there are some vows that we don't have to pay. That's why the Bible says, not in hasty when you are making a vow. It's better for you not to make a vow than to make a vow and not pay it. If you have made a vow, you better treat it. They pray to God to help you to make that, to pay that vow. Instead of going to pray the prayer of the fool, what should you be praying, Lord? The vow that I need, help me to pay that vow. In conclusion, the nature of the prayer, which I described earlier, The nature of the prayer, that is the noun, the person prayed, that's the noun, has a bearing on the response or lack of response from God to the prayer, that is the verb. If I am praying like a hypocrite, God will not hear me. If I am praying like a heathen, God will not hear me. But if my prayer is from an honest heart, God will hear me. What does that mean? If I have been praying and I have not been receiving an answer, I am not getting an answer, it's as if the place is blocked. Check yourself. Don't blame God. Don't blame the church you're attending. Don't blame the pastor. Look at yourself. Have you been a hypocrite? Are you like a heathen? You can shout and scream. Doesn't mean anything to God. Like we looked at last week. Your focus is money. Your heart is not right with God. Your heart dreams of evil things and wicked things to do. Your heart is full of bitterness. And then the God of iniquity. And yet you say God should hear you. How? Repent! And God will forgive you. And you will hear you. You are healing at heart. All you can think of is what you want on yourself. All you can think of is a God that you have designed. You look at Almighty God and you grab Him. And you begin to shape and frame Him for your own pleasure. You call Him the God of vengeance, come and avenge me. You have not told God what you did that made those people to attack Him. But you want Him to come and avenge you. You go to a church and you ascribe the name of your pastor to God. Who told you that God is like that? Is like that? Oh, the God of pastor, so hear me. God will not. Almighty God says to us that we should pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of any one of us. We read the photograph of our pastor and paste it on the wall and begin to pray. What are you doing? Idolatry. You go and kneel down before a statue and say you are praying to God. Please, God. You are hidden in your prayer. God does not listen to healings. God is looking for people who will pray from honest hearts. So what should we be doing? Focus on having the right nature, the nature of honesty and sincerity and humility. And you will find that all, I mean all, without exception, of your prayers will be heard. And we know that when God hears your prayer, you have the answer. So we need to begin to refocus our attention on being right with God, on having personal relationship with God, on having personal fellowship with God. Otherwise, we'll run into trouble. Let me close with these verses of scripture. Proverbs chapter 1 from verse 20 to 33. Proverbs 1 from verse 20 to 33. Wisdom crieth without, that is outside. She uttereth her voice in the streets. This is awful. It's not in privacy anymore. It's speaking aloud to whoever will hear. In verse 11, she crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the marketplace, in the place where there are people all over the place, even in the church, in those board meetings that you are attending, in those overhead parties where you are, God is speaking. Wisdom is speaking. Because wisdom is God. In the openings of the gates, in the city, she uttered her voice, saying, speaking aloud, crying aloud. How long these simple words? Will you love simplicity? Not all of simple ones are people who are thoughtless. People who don't count anything as great. Another person calls calls them scorners or scoffers. Another one says they are ignorant people who cling on to ignorance. They hold on to their own thoughts and not to the thoughts of God. How long will these simple ones? How long will these simple ones with these laws implicitly? You people who decide that this is what you want to do, how long will you hold on to such a foolish thing? And the scholars delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. How long will you hear the word of God and reject it? Because only a fool will get the knowledge of God and throw it away. Verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. There are people who hate to be reproved. I don't know why they hate it. And they hate it. God is warning you. He says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. If you will turn. When he's reproving you, if you will change. 24. Because I have called and he refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded it. But he has slept at naught all my counsel. Remember the man that fell by the word of God. God will say, you have slept at naught. You didn't even regard my counsel as anything. And would none of my reproof. You didn't care of my reproof. I was disciplining you. So that you can change. You say no. You want to do what you want to do. You despise the counsel. The counsel of God didn't make any sense to you, so you threw it away. Verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. What is it talking about? Well, prosperity of fools. The what do you call it? The careless ease. What does that call it? The careless ease. You're not mindful. You just say, no, there's nothing that's going to happen here. Don't worry. So that's what we're struggling. The people who tremble at the word of God, they don't wave the word of God off. Careless. In verse 33 says, but whoso happeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of him. The question for us today is, are you ready to change in your prayer life from hypocrisy and hypocrisy to honesty, sincerity, and humility? The Lord Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said, God is a spirit, and they that come to God must come to him how? In spirit and in truth. In sincerity. Be sincere to God. There's nothing you're going to say. The Bible says, also in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, he says, don't be like the heathen. Why? Because your father knows what you are going to ask before you ask. Verse 8. It says, be not ye therefore like unto them that is the heathen, for your father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. In other words, if you speak 10,000 words before God will hear you, God already knows why you come. And he said to you, have you come with the right attitude? Have you come with a sincere heart? Have you come with a broken spirit? Do you even fear my word? Do you tremble at my word? Do you have the fear of God at all? Or you want to come with your sin and behave as if you have done nothing wrong? Like Esau. When he was told that he had done something wrong, what did he say to Samuel? He said, don't worry, just honor me before the elders. We will deal with this repentance matter later. Just let's worship together. Let the elders, should not see that there's a problem. I don't want the people to know that God is reprimanding me. Some of us, we know how to smile. That smile doesn't mean jack. Because God knows that they're just trying to deflect attention from you and speak to you. Have one rising smile. As if you're not the one God is speaking. I know that as a basic responsibility, God expects to be hearing from us on the daily basis. He expects to see us. He expects to commune with us. But are we doing that? Do we spend time with God in private? But we are quick to run to church. People who are in churches where they don't have what they consider as prayer meetings, they will run to a church where they believe there is prayer meeting. I know many women, they have more than 10 churches that they attend. They have one prayer meeting after the other. Sometimes they will attend 5 prayer meetings in one day, going from one church to the other. One prayer meeting is from 8 to 9 in the morning, they are there. 10 to 11 in the morning again, they are there. Till night time. A housegirl is the one cooking for them in the house. As their husband is entering, that's how they are entering. Sometimes they enter after their husband, who went to work. And they are tired. But iniquity is in them. So they go all over the place and nothing happens. They are running everywhere and nothing happens. Go back and search where you started to disobey God. Return to God in general repentance. Let's bow our heads. I want to plead with us to talk to the Lord this evening. Speak to Him from a sincere heart. When I'm in church. The only time I pray is when there are people around. I don't even know your word anymore. The knowledge of the word that I have is what I had the last time we spoke. Nothing is new to me anymore. I'm crossing on old bread, crusty bread. Morning bread, nothing fresh. Lord, meet me today. Forgive me of my hypocrisy. Forgive me of my hedonism, my paganism, of treating you as if you are an idol who is dead. Who is blind? Who is dumb? Who is dead? Forgive me, Lord. I want to
want to come to you today and start afresh. I want to start having private meetings with you where I will be attendant to your words. Attendant to your voice. Rather than giving the sacrifice of fools. I don't want to rush in and rush out. I would like us, Lord, to renew our meeting time. The time when we meet. When I hear you speak to me through your word, hear you speak to me clearly. Help me, Lord, to spend more time hearing and doing than just coming to speak and read it off without knowledge. Help me, Father. Help me to change my nature from that of a hypocrite whose glory is of what men say about him. One whose focus is on your comments. Help me, Almighty Everlasting God, to be more focused on what you are saying to me and the multitude of words that may be forming in my heart. Help me, Lord, to commit to you today. Henceforth, to commit to doing your word, to commit to seeking your face, to commit to knowing your will, and to commit to doing that will. Help me, Almighty Everlasting God, not to turn my problems into an idol. And make them to become the one that I yield to rather than you. Rather, talk to God. Talk to God. Thank you so much for speaking to us. Thank you for your word. Now hear it. Bless everyone in prayer. We need to hear from you, Lord. Help us to turn away from our wicked ways, our evil, iniquitous ways, our ways that do not bring glory to you. Help us, Lord. Brethren, pray. Continue our God. I want you to commit to pray, to talking to God with diligence. Spending quality time, not wasting time. Spending quality time with Him. Oh, that we would understand how much God desires that you will spend time with Him. Let us not be like Jerusalem that missed the day of His visitation because He was busy focusing on other things rather than spending time with God. Let us not be like them who are so concerned about themselves that they ignore
the warnings of God. By the time we go to the next set of things that we want to discuss, we will discover that without the right nature, your prayer will be meaningless. It is the right nature, the right attitude, the right spirit, the spirit of God, that brings us to the place where we can pray and we will hear God say, "Yes, my son, yes, my daughter, yes, my child, what do you want me to do for you?" And as you are saying, I have already heard that. I want something else. What really do you want from me? Wouldn't that be wonderful? To know that God has taken care of the thing that you think are issues and is asking for something else. I want you to talk about it, Father. Let prayer be sweet to me again. Any of us, we have lost the sweetness of prayer. We have lost it. Chasing after things. Prayer is no longer sweet to us. Prayer is now drudgery. We are struggling to pray. Hypocrisy in prayer is when we pray only when we have a need and we abandon the rest. We don't talk to God on a daily basis, but when there is a problem, we run to Him. That's how hypocrites pray. Some of us can't pray for 2 minutes, we are sleeping. You need to talk to God about these things. These are things that you need to make sure to God, Lord, help deliver me from this nature. Whatever it is that is keeping me from spending time with you in the place of prayer, remove it from my life, please, Lord. Those distractions, help me to overcome them so I can spend time with you on a daily basis. Let's begin to bring the prayers to Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.